Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I'm going to do something a little bit different at the beginning. I want to read a passage from Acts chapter 9 at near the very beginning of chapter 9, because I want you to have the context in which these readings come for today. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. But as he journeyed, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed about him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. In verse 19, it says this: "For several days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and in the synagogues immediately he proclaimed Jesus. He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed, and they said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called on this name? And he has come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests." But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. And then we read today in chapter 9, beginning with verse 26. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. And then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles. And he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers. This says so much to us of the conversion of Saul. Think of that. Think what that must have meant to the people. He is for the man who was condemning him and speaking out boldly and everywhere. And now he's seen him and he opens his heart and his mind to believe. And what happens? Let's look at the readings and see. "It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers." Now we look at Psalm 22. "I praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people, that Saul has become Paul. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear the Lord. The lowly shall eat their fill. They who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow down before him. To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth. Before him shall bend all who go down into the dust. And to him my soul shall live. My descendants shall serve him. For the coming generation be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to a people yet to be born the justice he has shown. And then the second reading is taken from 1 John. You can imagine what this time must have been for the people. Can you imagine what it would be like? 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 to 24. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. Brothers and sisters, we are the recipients of these gifts that these people were just then receiving and have passed on to generation after generation. Are you part of those who share the goodness of God? Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. He loves you. And John 15 tells us, Alleluia, alleluia, remain in me as I remain in you. Whoever remains in me will bear much fruit. That's you. Are you living in him? Are you loving him? Are you seeking him? Are you praying? I know schedules are tight, but God comes first. 5 minutes perhaps at the beginning, but get into a regular time of prayer. And then we look at the gospel for today. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. If he prunes you, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. That is, if he takes something away from us, or he gives us something we didn't expect, and we're not very happy about it, he's pruning you, so that you will pay attention to what is important, and he will. He says, you are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. That means for us to take that word into our hearts. We don't have to memorize it, but let it become very familiar because you read it daily. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and become my disciples. God wants the greatest good for us. Why do we so many times turn away? Why do we decide that we know best? Why not listen to the wisdom of others? Come to the Lord and ask Him to guide you, that He may implant His wisdom within your heart. Do the right things. Choose Him first. Read His Word daily. 6 months from now, if you really read His Word daily, not dashing through them, I found that it was good to start with the New Testament, then go back and read the Old Testament and the New Testament. But start with the New Testament, especially if you're not frequently reading the Word. Start with the Gospels. Read them. Read the whole New Testament. Then go back and more slowly read the Old Testament. It will bear abundant fruit in your life because God's Word is living. God's Word is alive. God's Word desires to come to your heart. God loves you, and He's given you His Word. If you say, I don't understand it, look to a good Catholic around you to help you. Oh, I'd be going to him 150 times. Well, get a couple people or three people to help you because you can do it. But read it by yourself first. Read it and let it take fruit in you. Let it begin to form its roots in you. And then ask all the help you want to have others help you to grow in it. Because that word becomes more powerful as time goes on. It guides your way. Brothers and sisters, He loves you. And God's Word has the power to change your life. It's not, as I've said before, it's not just about a good idea. But if you do what God is asking of you, you learn by His Word, you follow His Word, you will change more deeply than you know. Read His Word carefully. And as I've said to many people, start by doing 15 minutes a day. Then a half hour. If you're in a position where you can give God a half hour, an hour a day, do that. Please. Because I want to see us all before the throne of God together. I want to see us. I haven't met you, or I don't see you, but I know you listen. And I want us all to be before the throne of God. May God open your heart. Say, I can only give God 5 minutes, five. Then give Him 5 minutes. And then look about your schedule and see if there's something you could change that you can give God at least 15 minutes a day, as I've said. May God abundantly bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.